You're listening to the Agony Column News Report, featuring interviews, phone interviews, reports from live book events and festivals, and conversations with readers. You can find additional news, interviews, book reviews, and more 5 days a week at the Agony Column website at trashotron.com/agony. I'm speaking with Mark Ziesing. He's a bookseller with an internet website and a mail order business. Thank you for joining me, Mark.
My pleasure, Mr. Kleffel.
Mark, the first thing I have to ask you is something that came to my way via Jeff Vandermeer. It's a book he did that began as a signing of books for you. Could you explain about that?
Jeff might be better able to explain in full, but I think... The way I tell the story is that Jeff had an idea for a book, and his idea was to essentially take a few facts about an individual and extrapolate from those few facts an extraordinary or fantastic story. And when I say story, I mean vignette or even shorter than vignette. Some of these open quote stories, close quote, are quite brief indeed, just a paragraph or two. And to this end, he asked if I thought that some of my customers might be willing to participate and contribute by way of giving him a very brief description of themselves, their interests, and their lives. The response from my own constituents was quite dramatic. We had a number of people that were very eager to participate and complied with Jeff's wishes to supply a few details about themselves and their lives. And Jeff did indeed extrapolate from that and write a fantastic story about each one of these people or examine their alternate or fantastic or secret life, you might say. And as a result, the book... Secret Lives is full of the secret lives of for the most part anyway, good friends and customers of us Ziesings.
Mark, tell me how word of mouth works for an internet/mail order bookseller.
That's a good question. I'm afraid I can't really speak on that issue without at least. Patting myself and my wife to a limited degree on the back, and I think it works like this. I think people that find themselves at an internet shopping site looking for a book are essentially drawn to the most affordable price. These days, books, like anything else, lampshades, furniture, coins, whatever, anybody with two lampshades and a pocket full of change can anoint themselves lampshade seller, coin dealer, whatever, and the same is true of books. And I think I know personally of many, many people who have had a negative experience buying books online, buying books purported to be, first editions that were book clubs, buying books that were purported to be in fine condition, that were in very good condition. And lots of these folks have had several negative experience with a less than stellar might not be the right way to put it, but I'll say with a very inexperienced bookseller. And I like to think that because my wife, Cindy, and I have been in the business for 37 years, that we know how to grade books, that we know how to acquire books, and maybe most importantly, at least to a number of our constituents, we know how to pack books. And so that when books leave our facility, they generally arrive in the same kind of condition that they left our facility. And when we sell something as a signed first edition, it is, in fact, a signed first edition and not a book club or whatever. And I think after a few negative experiences and, in theory and hopefully, a good experience, ordering from us, I think a quick turnaround time, a carefully packaged book, and receiving a book that is, as described, makes some people's eyebrows go up, perhaps makes them remember our name. They might tell a friend. They might come back to us in the future as a result of their positive experience.
So I guess that's how it works, Rick. But to tell you the truth, I'm really not too sure. I think these days, too, if you have literary enthusiasms that go the way of genre fiction in general and science fiction, fantasy, and horror in particular, you're a member of a relatively small group. Oftentimes, these groups of people know each other, communicate with each other, and recommend books to each other, and one would think recommend sources for books and booksellers to each other as well. And I think that's what's happened in our case.
You just redesigned your website and launched it. It's very nice. I wonder if you could take us through that process, because I think a lot of booksellers are looking at this, doing this, and a lot of, you know, book buyers are looking at websites too as a means of buying. So when did you decide to change your website? Why, and how did you proceed about it?
Oh, good heavens. All right, well, that's a long story. I'll give you a very abbreviated version. Cindy and I, especially me, were drugged into the modern age, the computer age, kicking and screaming. If I had my way, everybody would take their computers and throw them through the window and would all go back to 3x5 cards. Never had an affinity for computers, never liked them, never liked to spend time with them, but I did have the sense to know, to see the handwriting on the wall, and knew that if I didn't participate in this sea change that was overtaking the bookselling community, that I'd be left behind. So I joined the electronic age very reluctantly. Initially, I had a friend of mine who just enjoyed working with computers build my website for us. And although its functionality left quite a bit to be desired, we did have a web presence and did occasionally sell books at the website. It didn't take long, just a few years, before what I considered an adequate website was an abysmal abomination. And at that point in time, we decided to go about the very tedious, painstaking, and laborious process of locating a web designer, telling the web designer what we needed and wanted, and then waiting patiently, in our case, for years for our new site to be developed. Actually, at the end of the day, we were left with a website that was kind of half done, and an older website that was completely non-functional. And for several months, over the course of almost a year, I guess, had to find someone who was willing to address the many shortcomings of our new website. And finally, I think as of about 60 or 90 days ago, we feel that most of the bugs were worked out of our new website and that it's reasonably functional. So it's not something I know a great deal about. I didn't have anything to do with the actual designing of the website itself, but Cindy and I do maintain it and update it regularly.
So this is a website. Once it was done, now you're the sole proprietor, sole upkeepers of it. Then that's correct.
That's it. Yeah.
Now, could you talk? One of the things I think that separates you from literally every other bookseller out there are your descriptions of the books. In your catalogs are a joy to read. Your website is ditto. So I wonder if you care to talk about, you know, your descriptions of the books. Have you ever thought of taking that ability somewhere beyond just your own ability to sell them?
Well, that's awfully nice of you to say that, Rick. And it's, seriously, I have to disagree. I think pre-internet, I think our catalogs and the descriptions of books were much more straightforward, and here's what happened. Pre-internet, I was much more forthcoming about my feelings relative to particular writers, or more importantly, particular works. And I had, you know, no reservations about saying that I didn't like this book, I didn't like this particular kind of this genre, you know, heroic fantasy, whatever the case may be, romantic fantasy. It didn't do anything for me. And I, although I tried to say those kinds of things in a tactful and respectful way, they were reflective of my own tastes and interests, and oftentimes my descriptions were negative. After being, you know, taken to task by several, you know, I won't say irate, but I'll say disgruntled writers who took exception to my descriptions of their works, I found myself being much more self-conscious about how I responded to a new title that might cross my desk, and I found myself oftentimes censoring the remarks I had to make about particular works because I didn't want to face the ire of yet another, you know, upset writer. So these days I've kind of have the best of both worlds, at least in my view, and that is, I think, my online incarnation of our descriptions might be a bit more watered down, but the paper incarnation of our descriptions, that is to say those descriptions that appear in our paper catalog, are oftentimes substantially different and, I dare say, much more candid. And I found that over the years, being truthful relative to my own literary interests and pursuits and my own feelings relative to a particular writer or a writer's work, may have lost me a sale, but it gained for me a significant amount of credibility that would ultimately pay financial dividends as well. And these days we got a great many customers who, God bless them, approve of, share my literary enthusiasms for the most part. And if I thoroughly enjoy reading a particular book and say so, I can generally rest assured that we'll sell, you know, 10 or 20 copies of that book based on nothing other than my own description. Conversely, if, you know, we don't like something, aren't enthusiastic about it, it gets a listing only, a minimal description, sometimes a rather negative description. And like I say, I think that gives us some credibility and ultimately pays dividends for us. Hope I answered your question. I kind of forgot what it was after I rambled on for days.
No, you did perfectly. That was very interesting. Now, you've been selling, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think you've been stocking more used books lately and, you know, kind of signed and limited editions. How do you feel about that market and about those books? Do you still retain your enthusiasm for, you know, the super limited and signed books and, you know, the kind of the rare editions?
Well, let's see. You're talking about two different things, Rick. You're talking about secondary market book, secondary market books, you know, old books, the first editions, valuable books, or paperbacks that you know, we sell for a dollar or two. We refer to those kinds of things all, whether they're valuable or not so valuable, as just secondary market books. I'm very interested in old books, secondary market books, whether they're inexpensive paperback or a rare signed first edition. I think anybody that truly loves books loves to handle and peruse and examine and, in my case, describe and price old books. If I could do nothing else all day but examine old books and describe them, that's what I would do. That's where my heart is. That's what I love to do the most. It's a very important and integral part of our bottom line because, you know, the discount for new books is relatively marginal. And, you know, in order to make a living selling books, you have to, you know, in my view anyway, both sell new books as well as secondhand books in order to make your margin more significant. You're right. You're seeing a lot of secondary market books appear in our catalog and appear at our website. That's for two reasons. One is the reason that I just outlined. The second reason is it never ceases to amaze me, but we have a number of customers, many, many customers that have been with us for 10, 20, 30 years, a long, long time. We know most of our customers, the names of their significant others, their children, their dogs. In a lot of cases, we know what someone will order before we even get the phone call or before we even get the order form. So what's happened as a result of our longevity and the loyalty that our constituents seem to have for us is that a lot of our customers have kind of grown older with us. Sadly, many have passed away, and their survivors, their family, have elected to, you know, place their books with us. Some have fallen on hard times and decided to offload some of their collection and to pay for new books by way of gleaning their own collections. And the net result is something that works out for everybody. Folks make space on the shelf, save themselves some money, support their favorite bookseller, and gain access to new reading material without having to write a check. And so it works out well for everybody.
Could you talk now? You have a house somewhere in there in Shingletown. Do you open that up to customers?
No, is the quick response to that question. However, like as I said, we've got a number of good customers and friends that have been with us since the dawn of time. And should those friends and customers find themselves passing through Shingletown, we oftentimes will invite them to stop by. And so we do have some customers and friends come to see us, but it's relatively infrequent. We live in a very remote part of Northern California. It's really not on the way anywhere. So, and we don't really have a facility that lends itself to, book browsing. But, for example, if Rick Kleffel decided he was going to go to Lassen Park for a few nights and I didn't get a phone call saying he was passing my way, I'd be very upset. I would insist that you'd come over and sit on my porch and after I stain it, of course, and have a couple beers with me, and maybe I'd show you around the stock room and see if we could get into your pocketbook a little bit too. But those kinds of visits are relatively few and far between.
You have superb taste, I think, and unique taste in books, which is, I think, one of the reasons you have such a strong customer base. So tell us about some of your favorite recent and forthcoming books.
Well, I would like to take responsibility for that, but to be honest about it, the vast majority of our ordering, new book ordering, is done by my wife, Cindy, and not by me. She spends an ridiculous amount of time perusing catalogs, examining emails, going to websites, and responding to people's wants. And, we fortunately, although our literary interests aren't identical, we know what we like and we know what our patrons like. And for lack of a better term, I think it's more or less alternative and or emphatic fiction for the most part, and nonfiction that appeals to that same kind of demographic. I oftentimes refer to Cindy and I as being beat up old hippies, and in fact we are. And I think our literary sensibilities reflect that, and our literary interests reflect that. So there's one other very important ingredient when it comes to book ordering, though, and that is our customers. Like I said, a lot of them have been with us forever. A lot of them are incredibly loyal and dedicated. Oftentimes we'll get a call from someone who might be passing by one of our showrooms, which is how I refer to the international book butchers, the multinational huge chain bookstores and the like. And not a day goes by, or it's rare for a day to go by, when we don't get a call from someone on a cell phone in some multinational bookstore somewhere who found a book that they want in that store, but they call us and ask us to order it for them. These same people, read a lot of journals and magazines and whatnot and advance order or ask us if we can supply them with, signed limited editions from any number of small presses. And, that's how a lot of small press material comes our way as well, by responding to special orders. The last way, and a very important way for us, is we found ourselves in the very, enviable position. We're very pleased that a number of libraries and special collections have determined that it's more cost-effective for them to put as many eggs in one basket as they possibly can, and with the abundance of small presses and desktop publishing and plethora of backyard publishers, we've got a number of libraries that send us purchase orders for dozens and dozens of books from all kinds of little publishers. We have a lot of them. We order what we don't have. Those things invariably turn up at our site and in our catalogs. And I'd like to say that it was all a function of our incredible, literary acumen and our great sense of marketing, when in fact it's not. It's just us responding to the orders of good friends and customers, and like I say, a lot of libraries as well.
We've been speaking with Mark Ziesing. He's the owner and bookseller for Ziesing Books. Thank you for joining me, Mark.
My pleasure, Mr. Kleffel. Thanks for asking me.
You're listening to the Agony Column News Report, featuring interviews, phone interviews, reports from live book events and festivals, and conversations with readers. You can find additional news, interviews, book reviews, and more 5 days a week at the Agony Column website at trashotron.com/agony.